sign your testimony tonight? Okay, good. Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I remember one night I asked anybody have a sermon going to preach, and Eddie said, I do, I do. I said, well, come on up here. You sound like you in better shape than I am.
Bless the Lord. Lord, visit the hearts of your children tonight. We're going to leave here.
I just want to say I want to thank the Lord for being here, and I love the Lord tonight.
Amen.
I'm so glad He does pass us by.
Yeah.
Amen.
One day He passed by me, and I got
saved. Yeah.
I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Yeah,
pray
for
me.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm so sorry. Life anew, be made new.
All right, appreciate it. Good songs tonight. People obeying the Lord. That's what makes good service when we obey the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm kind of like the white preacher tonight. He got up and said, before I got up here, there's two people knew what I was going to say, me and the Lord. And he said, now only the Lord. Kind of where I'm at tonight. But you turn, if you would, to Psalms 137 tonight. I'll try to bring a little something out of this chapter, if the Lord will help me tonight. Psalm 137. We're going to read about four verses tonight in this chapter. It said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And be seated. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what we've been, Lord, able to enjoy here tonight, Lord, and the songs, and most of all of thy spirit, Lord, tonight. We thank you for it. We don't take it for granted, Lord, or take it lightly. And, Lord, we know that there's a lot of services going on tonight, Lord, when, Lord, you can't feel the Spirit of God or sense Him doing anything. And so we're thankful, Lord, that this is not that way tonight. Now, Lord, as I come tonight, I just ask, Lord, tonight, as I, Lord, get down on my knees here, Lord, I ask you tonight to just put something in my heart, Lord, tonight, that's Lord, would be a blessing to somebody and maybe give somebody some direction, Lord, that they need tonight, and maybe shine a light on some area, Lord, tonight they need to see.
Yes, Father.
And Lord, I realize tonight that, Lord, I need you more now than I ever did.
Yes,
and Father, we feel more weak and insignificant, Lord, than we ever have.
Yes.
But Lord, I thank you for that. And I know, Lord, that as long as we think we're something, Lord, that the Lord cannot use us the way He wants to. And so we just ask tonight, Lord, that that You'd help us to preach tonight, Lord, from a humble heart, and to be able to say something tonight that'd be a blessing to somebody. We pray for the lost that might be here tonight. The Lord searches the hearts, and He knows. And we pray for Your people tonight. Thank You for them that are faithful to come out, Lord, on the night, in the night service, Lord, and when many places the lights are out and the doors are locked. But we're thankful, Lord, that through the blessings of God, that, Lord, we have people here tonight, the doors are unlocked, and we just look to You tonight for what we need. In Jesus' name, we'll ask it all. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this is kind of a sad psalm tonight, and every time I read it, it always makes me kind of sad when I read that first verse there where the Bible said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion.
Amen.
Now, what's so sad about that is this is a people of God that at one time had been set free.
Right.
The God had brought them up out of the bondage of Egypt, and God had opened up the Red Sea, and by the miraculous hand of God, He had brought them through that and across on the other side.
Amen.
And they were a people that had been set free by the Lord.
Amen.
And of course, that's a picture tonight of our own redemption, how the Lord brings us through. Amen.
Amen.
And thank God that we come through a Red Sea of His blood tonight that set us free. And I'm glad for that tonight. But they come through on the other side, and they was a singing people. They got there on the other side, and boy, they're happy. They're out of bondage, and no more Pharaoh, and no more brick making, and no more hard bondage. And they were free, and free indeed. And they got on the other side, and Miriam began to sing and play the instruments and the tambourine, and the other ladies began to sing, and they sung, and they give praise to God, and told how the Lord had brought them out of the great bondage that they had been in, and God had brought them out, and they brought them across there. Now they were singing, and then they began to serve God. And God wanted them to be His people and to serve them. And God blessed them in many ways.
Amen.
But we find that there came to a place when this people that had been set free, and these people that had once sung a song, and these people that had begun to serve God, that they became again a sinning people.
Yeah.
When they did, they got back into bondage. And the Bible says that they lost their song, and they said, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?"
Amen.
And I know that in the Bible there's some people that sung the Lord's song in a strange land. I know Paul and Silas got down there, and they put them in stocks and bonds, and they sung until their bonds come off. They sung until God shook them free.
Yeah.
So a good thing to do when you find yourself in bondage is to go ahead and sing the Lord's song.
Amen.
I know Job, in his dark night, Job said he gives songs in the night. So when your night's dark and you feel like you can't sing, why, it's good to sing anyway. Amen. And I believe it's a blessing to God. When you can sing when you're sick, and you can sing when everything's dark and black, and I believe God takes a note of that.
Amen.
It's good to sing in your sickness. And then I think about our dear Lord on that night that He gathered with His disciples, and He's headed to the cross, and He knows suffering's coming. And He knows that the cross is coming, and the nails, and the crown of thorns, and the cat of nine tails, and they're going to strip Him of His raiment. They're going to pluck out His beard. They're going to spit in His face. And the Lord knows all that's coming. And the Bible said when they finished that supper, the Bible said they sung a hymn.
Amen.
They went out into the night. Amen.
Yeah.
That tells me it's good to sing the Lord's song when you're facing your cross.
Amen.
When you're facing your cross, just keep singing for God. But here was a people that got down so low. Did you ever get so low you couldn't sing? Did you ever get so low you couldn't pray? If you had, you will. There'll come time in your life when you'll get so low that you just can't hardly utter a prayer. But I'm glad if you're faithful to God, live for Him. I believe when you can't pray, that He'll be praying for you.
Amen.
And I believe that also other people will be praying for you.
Amen.
Amen. So here was this people tonight, and the Bible tells us that they're sad. The Bible tells us that they are a people tonight that they're spiritually just dried up tonight. Boy, there's a lot of people like that in this whole world that once was set free by God, that once sung the Lord's song, that once served God. But tonight, they just dried up tonight. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, it caught my eye here when I was reading this the other day in my study up there. And I read where it said, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion." And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, "Dear Lord, here they are. They're dried up sitting by the river."
Amen.
They're dried up sitting right there by the river.
Right.
I know that Babylon was a physical river. I know that. But I realize there's a lot of people tonight in the church that are dried up tonight.
Amen.
They've lost their song. They've lost their joy.
Amen.
They're no longer serving God anymore. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to preach a little while tonight. If God will help me tonight, I want to preach a little while on that thought. Dried up, sitting by a river. When I look at that tonight, I see a picture here, and I see a picture that happens over and over again in the life of God's people. You say, "What is it, Brother Rick?" Well, you see, if we're not careful, we'll fall back into sin.
Right.
If we're not careful, we'll become entangled in the thing that God got us untangled from.
Amen. Amen.
Well, a lot of people do that tonight, and I realize that a pastor in 34 years, you see, people that God brought out with a mighty hand. You see people that would sing for God, shout for God, and serve God, be a part of all that's going on in the church.
And then just like Israel, you see that they find themselves little by little going back into sin and back into bondage.
Amen.
Back out of the place where they came from as far as their spiritual setting. Amen.
And
next thing you know, they've lost their song.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're no longer serving God. The next thing you know, my friend, they no longer have a shout for the Lord anymore. I see a picture here of that, and oh, it's so sad when people go back into what God's brought them out of. Amen. I tell you, God didn't bring us out of it to go back in it.
Yeah.
Amen. I tell you, God, He didn't save us from our sins and deliver us from our sins and give us freedom from our sins that we would go back into that same thing and let the thing we were delivered out of have dominion over us again. Amen. That's not the purpose of God. I don't believe it's ever God's will for a people to backslide. I don't believe it's ever God's will for a person to go back on the Lord. I know they do, but I don't believe that's God's will.
Amen.
You say, why? Because the Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, we have trials to face. We have battles to face. We have some uphill climbs. We have some dark valleys to go through. But I believe that God, if we'll hold His unchanging hand, I believe that God will take us through them. And I know some people tonight, boy, they've been through some rough places tonight, but they just kept holding on to God. Even though they couldn't sing, maybe they wouldn't even able to sing a song. They just able to hum one or one. But they kept on going on for God. Amen. That's what I believe God wants us to do. But I want you to notice here tonight that the Bible said here in verse 1, they said that there we sit down. There's where the problem started.
Yeah.
When we sit down on God, amen. I tell you, we don't need to sit down on God. You might not physically be able to stand. You may not be able to drive a car. You may not be able hardly to walk. And you may physically have to sit down. But I believe spiritually we need to keep going on for God. Every mile, every way we can.
Amen.
I love the elderly people, and I sympathize with them and more so every day. But I understand that there comes times when you might not be able to do like you once did. But here's a trick of the devil that I believe I see happen in the life of elderly people. When they get where they're not able to come to all the services, when they get where they're not able to do all the things they once did, the devil tells them, well, you're not able to do any of it. And so they just sit down and quit it all. Amen. I believe that it's God's will as long as me and you. I believe if we can make it one service of health to the house of God, I believe we ought to keep going. I believe we ought to keep pressing on that way and keep on keeping on for God. Boy, if you ever sit down, you're going to get in trouble. Amen. I think about when the Bible said that Samuel went over to the house of Jesse, and he's going over to find him a king, the Bible said. And I love that story how that Jesse had several sons, and some of them were big, robust-looking guys, and they brought him out first. You know, the man looked on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. We look at something dressed up outside, but God looks at something that's been touched down on the inside. My God, they brought them all out there. And Samuel said, ain't none of these him. And he said, have you got any more? He said, well, I just got one more boy. You probably wouldn't be interested in him. He's out there watching the sheep. He's a ruddy lad. He said, go get him. You know how they went and got him. But what I want to call to your attention here is found in the 2 Samuel chapter 11 there. In the Bible, it says when they went to get him, not 2 Samuel, but 1 Samuel chapter 11, or verse 11, it says, Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? 1 Samuel 16:11. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, watch this, for we will not sit down till he comes hither. In other words, he said, we won't sit down till the king comes
hither. Amen.
Oh, glory to God, I'm telling you tonight. We need to keep on keeping all. Don't give in to the devil. Amen. Don't sit down on God. Keep on going for the Lord. That's what got David in trouble. The Bible said when they were going out to battle, David said, well, I don't believe I'll go this round. They can handle it. They don't need me. It's not so much that they need you, but you need to go. You need to be out there on the forefront. You need to be out there in the battle. Amen. David sat down that night and walked around on the palace, and you know the rest of its history. You know what happened to David. We get in trouble when we sit down with God. I know we're in the fleshly body. I know we get tired. I know we have things to go on. But I tell you, I don't know about anybody else. I'm just speaking for myself. But I'm afraid to sit down on God. I'm afraid not to keep going. I'm afraid not to keep pushing. You say, why? Because I don't trust my flesh. It might feel too good to sit there. Might feel too good to start missing that. I've been doing ever since I've been serving God. We need to keep on for God. But there's a whole lot of people tonight that have sat down on God. No testimony, no shout, no tear down their face, no joy in their heart. They're just like these people here. They sit there by the river, dried up, sitting by the river. That's where God's people are tonight. Many of them, not all of them, but many of them.
Amen.
And I want you to notice this. Not only did they sit down, but they said, we sit down, we wept. The devil tells people, oh, you're not happy serving God. You're not happy serving God. You go down to that old church house again. Well, you've heard all them old songs. And
bless you, Lord.
You know who's going to testify and what's going to take place. Well, you was happier before you ever started going down there to that church. You was happier before you ever started trying to follow God. That's what the devil says.
Right.
That's what them people said when God brought them out of Egypt. They said, we want to go back. We had it better down there than we did here. They said, well, down there we had leeks and onions and melons and garlic and all this to eat. All we got to eat up here is just manna. And we had it better down there. You brought us out here to kill us. Well, sometimes we get to thinking about things like that, and it makes us sad. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Let me challenge you tonight. You find somebody that once served God, lived for God,
right,
was faithful to God. I'm not talking about a hit or miss Christian. I'm talking about somebody that put down some roots and got busy for God. And brother, they quit God, and they quit them by the multiplied hundreds every week. Amen. But they quit God, and they think they'll be happy to go back to the life they once lived, but they're not happy going back there in the life that they once lived. I'll tell you what, if you want something to stimulate you and encourage you to keep you from going back, I just follow those that have went back. I just look at their countenance. I just look at their life. I just listen to the things you hear about them going on. Amen. I promise you tonight, they might not never say it, but there's a lot happier serving God than the hour back out in the world tonight. I believe by the grace of God, I'll just stay with Jesus.
Amen.
Same as going to stay with the Lord. That's right.
Amen.
They sat down, they wailed. Boy, here's the people that used to be shouting.
Amen.
Boy, here's the people that had the joy of God on them.
Right.
I mean, think about it. He brought them out of that bondage.
Yeah.
They said that bondage for all them years and had to be a slave for somebody else. Couldn't do what they wanted to do. They had to do what somebody else wanted them to do.
Right.
They had no life. They were controlled by somebody else in a bad taskmaster at that. But, man, they got out of all that. Don't you know they was happy?
Amen.
You know, kind of like you was.
Amen.
When God brought you out of the dope, and God brought you out of the drink, and God brought you out of the carousing, and God brought you out of that sin, boy, you felt like the chains had fell off. You felt like the shackles had been loosened. God, brother, you was free, and you was happy, and you'd praise the Lord, and you'd sing for God, and you'd do whatever God wants you to do. But we're not careful, we'll dry up and go back to what God brought us out of. The Bible said they were sad. David was a man after God's own heart. But David, you know the deep sin David fell into.
Bless him, Lord.
And that's the way it starts, you know.
Yeah.
David fell into that deep sin. Was he happy? No, he wasn't happy. If he was, he shouldn't have prayed this prayer to God. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness.
Yes. Amen.
He said, make me to hear joy and gladness again. What did he mean by that? He meant that everything he heard was, he couldn't hear nothing good no more.
Amen.
A lot of times people say, preacher, don't hear nothing good no more. It's the way they come to church.
Amen, brother. Amen.
They turn the news off and go down to the house of God.
Amen.
They say we're doomsday preachers. And I say we're not doomsday preachers. Bill O'Reilly is a doomsday preacher. Them guys are the doomsday preachers because they tell you how bad it is and then they never say anything good. Now, us preachers, we'll tell you how bad it is and how bad it's going to get.
Right.
But before we go off the air, we're going to tell you something.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. Amen. We're going to tell you to be saved by the grace of God. We're going to tell you Jesus is coming. We're going to tell you, thank God, you don't have to go to hell. We're going to tell you there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I say tonight, listen, I'm glad I've got good news to bring. That's why the Bible's called, the Word of God is called the Gospel, the Good News.
Amen.
I said this morning that a lot of preachers talk about the Gospel for an hour and a half and never tell anybody what it is. But the Gospel is believing the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's the best news you'll ever hear. That Christ died for you. You don't have to die for your own sins. He died for you. That's good news.
Amen.
That's good news.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
They were sad. Let me tell you something. A backslider can never be happy. Never. You say, why? Because if they tasted of the Lord,
amen.
Yes.
Psalm 134, verse 8 says, oh, taste the Lord and see that He's good. And if you ever tasted the Lord and you know He's good tonight, I promise you that if you've ever tasted of the Lord and partook of the Lord, you ain't going to find nothing out there in that big wide world. You ain't going to find nothing out there that'll even come close to God.
Yeah.
And when you've left God, you're going to be sad because ain't nothing out there like God.
Yeah.
Good as God. Amen. You've got the best thing there is.
Yeah.
You've got Jesus.
That's right.
They were sad.
God bless you, Brother Rick.
Let me tell you this.
Thank you.
They said we wept when we remembered Zion.
Yeah.
Not only were they sitting, and not only were they sad, but I want you to see here that all they could talk about here, all they were doing was they said, settle for the past. Settle for the past. And I'll tell you, when somebody don't see anything out there good, and they're living in the past, that's the kind of people that loads a gun, goes back in a back room, blows their brains out.
Yes. Yep.
Can I tell you that when people don't see anything out there good and all they can see is back out in the past, that's the kind of people that throws a rope over a beam and ties it around their neck and jumps off a chair. Why? They don't see anything to live for.
Amen. Amen.
Now, when a person starts physically speaking, when an individual starts talking, all they talk about is the past. All they dwell in is the past. You know what that person's fixing to do? They're fixing to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way elderly people are.
Yeah.
They get more than all they talk about is the past. Mm-hmm. Unless it's an elderly believer, a Christian.
Amen.
Then they talk about heaven. They talk about God. They talk about going home to see mama.
Yeah.
Going home to see daddy. Or going home to see Jesus. I was meeting my mom. There's Steve, my brother. He come in.
Bless you.
And he was talking to my mom. And
And Mama's talking about she's sick, stuff like that. And she said she told him she didn't want to be resuscitated if anything happened to her.
Bless your Lord.
My sister's been up visiting with her. And the nurse said something about it to my sister. Said, you know, your mother didn't want to be resuscitated if anything happens to her. And she stopped and she said, no, I didn't know that. We don't want that. And my mother said, she said, well, honey, that's not your decision. That's fine.
Yeah.
Amen.
And my brother said that you won't go see, he said, you won't go see Jesus is what you're wanting to do.
Bless the Lord.
And she said, I just hope he wants to see me.
Amen.
And my brother said, you just want to go see Jesus. That's what you're wanting to do. Listen, I'm glad, thank God, that we'd be 105 years old, still got the best to look forward to.
Yeah.
The best is yet to come. And if we don't really believe that, then let's put a sign out front and sell this building, quit taking people's money, and get them in here, because if there ain't nothing beyond this, we're the biggest crooks in town.
Yes.
Oh, but I'm glad. I'm glad that I believe. I believe that there's more beyond this life. My old buddy Raymond King walked out on down there in Florida on the coast there. He walked out there and he'd been standing there for hours looking across the ocean there at the sun setting. Preacher Bob walked up to him and said, what are you doing, Raymond? And he said, Preacher Bob, he said, beyond that vast horizon, there's got to be a whole lot more. Thank God he wrote that song. Now Paul Williams sings it. He recorded it and he's singing it now. But I'm glad tonight that, listen, there's a lot more that we ain't seeing than there is that we do see.
Right.
And there's a lot more out there awaiting us than what we're leaving down here.
Yeah.
I tell you, we don't need to live in the past.
Yeah.
I know Jesus is coming. And I know we're in a somewhat of an apostasy, and I'm pretty sure there's not going to be another nationwide revival. I don't find it in the Bible, but maybe it is, but I don't find it if it is. But I'll say this tonight. I believe we can still have revival in the heart.
Yes. Right. Amen.
I don't believe we have to dry up and die.
Yeah.
You know, that's what a lot of churches have done. They've just dried up and quit because they think the Lord's coming, and He is. But they say, what's the use? Jesus is coming anyway.
Yeah.
He didn't tell you to quit working. Right. He told you to work, to keep working and watching until He does come.
Yeah.
And so we need to keep working. Where would we be at tonight if 100 years ago that they just said, I'm quit because they thought Jesus was coming and He might have. And they sat down and quit. Where would we be at tonight?
Amen.
Lord, I'm thinking this statement about my grandkids.
God bless you, preacher.
Got to thinking about, that ain't that far off, but 10 more years. I wonder if they'll even have anything like this around here, the way the churches are going, the way things are going. Boy, it puts a word in your heart. But I know Jesus always have a church down here I know He'll always have a church. There may not be a lot of them, but He'll always have a church somewhere. There'll be a Philadelphia church somewhere.
Amen.
I believe until Jesus comes, amen, there'll be one keeping the Word and preaching the Word and living for Him and doing for Him.
Amen.
A symbol for the past.
Bless Him, Lord.
The man, educated man, real educated man. Talk about a Greek reader and a Hebrew reader. And I'm talking about a smart man. He came here, and me and him went out to eat after the day. He said, how long have you been there, Brother Rick? I said, at that time, about 22, 23 years. He said, your best work's all behind you. I refuse to believe it.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, in Psalms 90, the Bible said, they that be planted in the courts of the Lord shall flourish. They that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God.
That's right.
And He said, even in their old age, they'll be fat and bringing forth fruit.
Yes.
I got part of it, amen. I don't believe just because you 70-year-old that you're done. Amen.
Right.
Hey, you got some wisdom and some stuff that people need to hear.
Yeah.
Amen.
If I was on the pulpit committee, I'd always
I'd always try to get the older guy, especially now. But no, if I was on a pulpit committee, I'd always vote for the older man. You say, why? Well, you ought to have some wisdom and experience. And I know the young people, the young men, they need a chance too. And I understand that. I'm just saying that in the day we live, that if the older preachers, they don't want them. Oh man, I just sit down at their feet, just listen to them talk.
Right.
Bless you, Lord. I just listen to them talk.
Hear me, I get
around these camp meetings and stuff, and man, I just sit there and keep my mouth shut.
Amen.
I just want to learn something. First time I met old Jack Woods, he's dead now in heaven, but boy, I followed him around all week. And that he's staying at the motel where we were staying, and I'd get up there early in the morning. I mean, 4 o'clock, I'd go down there and get me a little table and sit there and wait for him to come in. He'd come in, that big cowboy hat on, them cowboy boots on, he'd sit down over in the corner. And I waited all week for him to say something to me. And finally, about Friday, the last day, he said, "Hey, boy." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Glasgow, Kentucky, sir." He says, "Is that anywhere close to Radcliffe?" I said, "Yes, sir, not too far." He said, "Go up there and find Randy Pike, spend the day with him. He'll help you, boy." I said, "Thank you, sir." Well, I went home. I ain't been home an hour. I'm on the phone trying to find Randy Pike.
Amen.
It took me 6 months to do it, but I went up there and spent a day with him. He was right. He helped me, thank God. But these older preachers, they've been through it. They've been through the trials. They may be different than... They may be clothed different than what you're going through, but they're the same thing.
Right.
And they've been through them. They know. Amen. You take old Dr. Arnold, praise God, 101 years old. My goodness. Last time I had any recollection of it, he didn't take any medication.
Praise the Lord.
101 year old. Broke his deal. I thought that's all of it. Within 2 months, he hobbled back up preaching again.
Yeah,
had a stroke this year, and I said, "That's it." Mm-hmm. Me and my wife went up there to see him, had prayer with him. 3 weeks after we was up there, he preached, I think, a homecoming. Still going, 101 years old.
Amen.
Praise God, that's good, isn't
it?
I like what he said to him. John Rollins was the same age, and John Rollins quit going out preaching when he got up about in his 90s, and he said, "I don't go anymore because they just make a novelty out of you and they just kind of use you as a novelty, and I ain't going to do that." But Dr. Arnold had a different philosophy. Dr. Arnold said, "God called me to preach. He never had called me to quit, so I'm still agitated."
Amen.
He's still going.
Amen.
Amen. Well, he settled for the past. Don't settle for the past. And when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit of God. You got all of Him there is to give. The only thing to work on now is that He needs to get more of you.
Yes, you're
amen.
Right.
You don't get Him bits and pieces. You get all of it when you get saved. But you need to yield to Him. Let Him get more of you. Amen. Let me tell you something. Don't settle for the past. Don't think your greatest blessings done come. Don't think you already know as much about God as you're going to know.
Amen, brother Rick.
You still learn. You still be learning about God at 100 years old.
Amen.
There's so much to learn about God, we don't even scratch the surface. Amen.
Right.
The Bible is not all there is to know about God. It's just all God wants us to know. Amen. The Bible is not, God didn't give us the Bible to tell us where He came from. He gave us the Bible to tell us where we came from.
Amen.
We just have to believe God.
That's right.
So I see a picture here. Amen. And I see a practice here. Look, if you would, in verse 2, it said, "We hang our hearts on the will in the midst thereof. Once a saint becomes a slave to sin, back to sin, and sits down and sat and settles in and starts reminiscing and living in the past, here's what usually follows. Watch this." He said, "We hung our hearts on the will." What did they do? They cast aside that was sacred. They hung up that which was sacred.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Don't throw your Bible out.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hold on to your Bible.
Yes.
The Lord inspired says, "Hold fast to that which is good, brother. You won't get no better than what you're holding there."
That's right.
Why do you say hold fast to it? Somebody's going to try to pull it out of your hand.
Right.
Hold fast to that which is sacred. Brother, the house of God's sacred. I know we're God's temple. We're God's house. I know that. I know that. But listen, this place where we meet and assemble and have preaching and teaching, that's a sacred place.
Yes, it is.
Boy, I tell you, us preachers have caused us ourselves a lot of problems because of what we preached in years past. And now people don't have any respect much at all for the house of God.
Right. Me, brother. Yeah.
They don't have any respect at all for the sacred things of God many times, amen. Yeah. But don't hang up your prayer line.
Amen.
Don't hang up witnessing and trying to talk to people about Jesus.
Amen.
You see, I used to do that when I first got saved. What'd you quit for? I used to pass out tracts and talk to people back when I really got it going for God. Well, what'd you quit for? I used to go to church every time the doors opened. I had them tell me that, Josh. Preacher, I used to go to church every time the doors was open. What'd you quit for?
Amen.
Yeah.
What'd you hang it up for? Don't hang it up, praise God. Get that thing back down, tune it up.
Yeah, get that cross.
Amen.
Take it up, amen.
He cast aside that was sacred. And then notice what happened, boy, when the saints sat down dry up.
Listen.
Notice what happens here. You remember when David committed that sin? I keep going back to David. But I think about what God told him. What God told David. Here's what he said in verse 14 of 2 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 14, he said, "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme."
Right.
Every time a Christian quits, the world said, "I told you so."
Right.
Told you wasn't up to it. Told you it's all put on, that's all the faith.
Amen.
Every time a preacher gets in trouble,
yeah,
falls, and without exception, I'll hear somebody say, "I thought he was a good preacher."
Yeah.
He probably was. That's the kind of the devil walked.
Right.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
That's the kind he's really going after.
Yeah, amen.
Right. It's him like that. Amen. Amen. People say, "Well, I don't have no confidence at all in preachers. They're all bad ones." I like what Billy Graham said when Jimmy Swaggart failed. Larry King had him on his show interviewing him. And, of course, Larry King was pretty much an atheist. And he was trying to get at Billy Graham, you know, and he said, "Well, what about Brother Swaggart? What about that preacher that failed this week? What about that?" And Dr. Graham said, "Well," he said, "it's like this, Larry." He said, "There was planes that went off all over the United States this morning. And the most of them, majority of them, made them to their destination where they was going. Their pilot did a good job. But you didn't hear nothing about them. You only heard about that one at crash."
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Yeah.
What about everyone that gets in trouble and falls? What about them old preachers back in the mountains? Got about 12 people faithful to God, walking up there and preaching to a little old crowd and faithful to God and faithful to His Word. You didn't hear about them. That you going to.
Yeah.
Amen. One of these days there's going to be a judgment for the believers. Judgment seat of Christ. And some of these big name preachers that you know by name because they're on every channel and their names are in all the marquees and they got all the books in the book stand and they're going to be up there at the front of the line and the Lord's going to say, "Hey, if you don't care, just go back there. When you get back there, punch that old fella back there at the overalls on, tell him to come up here."
Amen.
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 Amen. Criticizing. The world don't have a lot of confidence in the church. A lot of times because people quit on God and go back.
Yeah.
They dry up on God. Mm. And then notice this. They said, "How should we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" They're confused. Well, when you go back on God, get back in sin, you're as confused as a termite in a yo-yo.
Amen.
You don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Amen.
You don't know if you're saved or if you're lost. You ever ask them, "Well, I think I was saved. I think I used to be right with God." You see, when you get in that sin, you don't lose your salvation, but brother, you lose your assurance.
Yeah.
You really have something to work with then. You get to question about it all like that, you get all confused. I've heard people was faithful in church and sung the Lord's song, delivered by God, And some of them get so far back out there and back out into sin, they get all confused. And now they don't know if the Bible's true. They don't know if Jesus was virgin born. And they get into all kinds of confusion. But can I tell you, this book says that God is not the author of confusion. The devil is.
Right.
But I do want to say this, even though God don't author it, thank God He'll get in it and help you get it straightened out.
Yeah, well.
Amen. That's over in 1 Corinthians 14. And where it talks about the gift of tongues and stuff. Brother Mitchell was preaching down in church. And he was preaching, trying to get that in the right place and everything. And this lady, she got real mad and upset. She came up to Brother Mitchell when he got through preaching. She said, I have you know. She said, we believe all of the Bible down where I go to church. And she said, we believe all of the Bible. He said, I believe it all too. But he said, ma'am, it ain't all. He said, it's all for us in some way. But he said, we don't practice all of it. She said, well, we do. And he said, oh, he said, you don't. He said, you didn't take a sacrifice to church this morning. That's what they did back in the Old Testament. You don't do that. And he said, lady, he said, I just bet you money you don't even practice 1 Corinthians 14:34. And she said, well, I don't know. What's it say? He said, let your women be quiet in church.
Excuse me.
Confusion of the saints. Let me say this tonight. I see a paradox here. You see, that's a statement that seemingly is contradictory and it's opposed to common sense. And, you know, like my text, dried up sitting by a river, that don't really make sense. I'm finishing up here tonight, but listen now, I'm talking spiritually. A lot of people in church are dried up.
Yeah.
And they're sitting right by the river.
Dried.
In Isaiah 44 and verse 3, I learned this verse when I was real young in the Lord. And I learned this verse, and it always meant a lot to me. But the Lord said in Isaiah 44 and verse 3, He said, I'll pour water upon him that's thirsty.
That's right.
And floods on the dry ground.
Amen.
Lord said, if you get thirsty,
yeah,
you get dried up enough, and the Lord said, I'll pour something on you.
That's right.
You ever pray to get thirsty? I pray all kinds of prayers as a preacher. I said, Lord, take me to another level in the preaching. I didn't know it was going to be down.
Bless you, Lord. God bless you, Brother Rick. God bless you, Brother.
Amen. Amen. Brother McCurry said, Brother Rick, I prayed God give me the best church I ever had. I didn't know I was getting rid of half of it to do it.
Amen.
God's ways are not our ways.
Right.
His thoughts are not our thoughts.
Yep.
But you ever pray to get thirsty? God, make me thirsty. Me and old Bill Ledbetter had a revival one time. And me and Bill was praying before it started. We was both trying to be spiritual. We said, God, just take our blessing and give it to somebody else. I think the Lord said, okay. Boy, from that time that thing started to Friday night, Eddie, if God had seen a word to tell you, I didn't know anything about it. I couldn't even conduct the services. Thank God I didn't have to do the preaching. Bill, he's struggling preaching, but every night we'd give altar call and the sinners would come up and get saved. And we're supposed to call, we're having trouble even quite praying with them. I had a black friend come to church here, a preacher, Jerry Stockton. We'd get Jerry up here and he'd pray with them.
Amen.
They get saved right and left. He's helping them. But then Bill, we couldn't get in touch with God, it seemed like. We told God to give our blessing to somebody else. I think He'd give it to Jerry. I'll tell you one thing, about Friday morning, when Bill got up there, that same room where we played before, we said, God, we'd like to have a little something.
Yeah. Amen.
Brother, the floodgates broke that night. And God bless Bill and me both. We cried and started around.
Thank you, Lord.
We cried, and we both cried so much, and blowed our nose, and I laid my handkerchief here, and he laid his there, and then I picked his up, and he picked mine up, and I tell you, it's just a snotty mess.
Praise God.
God blessed us.
Yeah.
Amen. See, we got thirst in it. We got thirst in it. Somebody said that food's good out in Marlins the other day. I said, yeah, I was hungry. When you get hungry, it's always good.
Yeah, man.
You get thirsty, you say, boy, that preaching's good today. And I mean, it might have been not much to it, but If you're hungry, it's good. These folks go out and say, forget about the preaching. They're stuffed full of everything else. They're not really hungry. But boy, you really get hungry to hear something from God. I'll tell you, Brother John 3:16. It puts you on shouting.
Girl. Yeah.
You get hungry for God. Amen. Let me tell you this. Jesus, he went one day and the girls were working on a song. He gave me water out of John 4. But he went one day to a well there. And a lady come there. She's coming to draw water out of the well. Jesus, you know, he knew she'd been there before, and he knew something about it because of what happened when he began to inquire. And he came to her, and she come walking by, and he said, "Ma'am, if you don't care, give me some water."
Yeah.
She said, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. They don't have no dealings with each other."
Bless you, preacher.
You see, Jesus, he loves them all. Yeah. He don't care if they're Chinese, Japanese, Filipino, Russian, Chinese. He died for all of them.
Yeah.
He died for a few white men.
That's right.
He died for the whole world, praise God.
Amen.
He loves the whole world, and if you and I don't, there's something wrong with us.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible said that Jesus said, if you knew who I was,
yeah.
He said, you'd ask of me water, and I'd give you water that you'd never thirst again. She said, well, the well's deep, and you don't even have nothing to draw with. He's talking about a deeper well.
What Jacob's
yeah, was a deep well. He said, if you just ask, and I'd give you water, you'd never thirst again.
That's right.
He's making her thirsty now.
Yeah, he was.
Yep. She said, Lord, give me this water.
Blessed.
He said, go get your husband.
Oh,
what's a strange response for somebody to say, give me a drink of water? He said, go get your husband. He said, I don't have one. He said, you had a bunch of them. The one you got now is not even yours.
Yeah, man.
She said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. The Bible said that she left her water pot.
That's right.
About the whole town.
She run into the city. You see, why'd she leave a water pot for? You don't need a water pot or a well when you got a river.
Yeah, man.
She said, come and see this man that's told me all things. It's not just the Christ. And the Bible says that many people believe because of her saying. Right. The Bible said.
Yeah.
You see, you got to get thirsty. You dried up, you got to get thirsty enough to want something to drink.
That's right.
Yes. That's right.
If you're dried up, you got to be willing to ask for it. She said, sir, give me this water. You got to be humble enough and not be embarrassed about it that you'll say, Lord, I need something.
Yes,
most of the churches. Starve to death of thirst and be proud to ask for a drink.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But then I like this, John 7, verse 37, the Bible said it was that last and great day of the feast.
Amen.
And said, Jesus stood
and
he said, if any man thirst, he said, let him come unto me.
Yeah.
And he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.
Yeah.
This spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet given because Christ was not yet glorified.
Amen.
Jesus said, y'all all dried up.
Amen. Forgot what you
said. He said, if you just believe on me like the scriptures have said, you could have a river flowing out of you. You can have a river inside of you, thank God.
That's right.
Amen. You see, tonight, as God's people, we got that river inside of us.
Yeah, we do.
We dam it up with sin. And we stop its flow sometimes by pride and indifference and disobedience to God. But we got a river there. And they ain't one use. There's no use of one dried up Christian when you got a river inside of you.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. There should never be a dead service if we've got a living Christ in our midst.
Amen.
And someone said, you can't preach a dry sermon with tears running down your face. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Right up with a river right by us tonight. There's more. There's more to serving God. There's more to enjoying God than we even know about.
That's right. Amen.
Than we even know about. Some of you have been saved for 40, 50 years. It shouldn't be about over. It should be about beginning.
Yes. Amen.
Because you've learned the things of God now. Amen. God, the devil don't want us to enjoy God. The devil wants us to dry up. He loves dried up churches, dried up preachers, dried up singing, dried up Sunday school teachers. He loves it that way. Amen. You say, why? When it gets dry, I'm just about done. I remember when I was a boy, the creek up there on my granddaddy's farm, run down the back side of the farm, go 3 or 4 months and it'd dry up. Brother Stacy, we liked it when the creek dried. We'd go down there and that creek would dry up. And of course, wherever the lowest spot was, that water would settle in that low spot and them fishes didn't have nowhere to go. But there in that little spot, you'd get down there and you'd get a big old catfish or a big old bass out there. You say, why? It's easy to get when it's creek is dried up.
Yeah. Even right. Yep.
Brother, it's easy for the devil to get God's people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the creek's dried up.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you tonight.
Bless you, Lord.
Thank you tonight, Lord.
Thank you.
Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God.
Thank you.
Lord, I ask you to bless the people tonight. I hope they've already been blessed. And Lord, I pray tonight, and I'm really hesitant to do so, Lord, because of things I've experienced like this in the past. Lord, I know we need to get thirsty enough to make us want to drink.
Help us.
God, I pray that, Lord, you help us tonight, if nothing else, the truth be realized that, hey, we got a spiritual river inside of us. We shouldn't be dried up with a river in us. We're sitting right by the river. God, help us tonight, I pray. Maybe somebody find some victory tonight and help us tonight. Maybe the river will get to flowing tonight in somebody's life tonight once again. It's been bound up with sin and disobedience and those things. Lord, we thank you tonight and give you the praise, honor, and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let's stand tonight if you would, please. Let's find God tonight.
Thank you. Thank God for that. I'm glad God does set a good table, and I appreciate you obeying the Lord. I think that was much needed tonight. I'm glad there's an ample supply. I'm glad, praise God, like David sings sometimes, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. I'm glad, praise God, we can lift our cup up and He'll fill it up as many times as we want it to. I'm so glad. He's so gracious, so good. I've been blessed. I hope everybody got a blessing tonight. Man, it's been a good place to be. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Somebody else tonight. Word of testimony, anything tonight before we let you go.
Brother Rick, I want to thank God for saving me.
Amen.
Today He's given us for the sweet spirit to feel here today.
Amen.
Amen. We was talking to Sheila last night there at the house about 11:30. We was talking because she lives in Texas now. And she said, I'll tell you one thing that you just don't see. She said, we went to lots and lots and lots of churches. But she said, one thing you just don't find in what we, where we've been. She said, you never see anybody have a testimony or even given an opportunity to give one. She said, you just don't see that anymore. And, but I believe it's part of the worship service.
Amen.
Amen. And, I like to hear them when they're of the Lord. And the testimony's bragging on Jesus.
Amen.
And telling what he's done and what great things God's done for you. That's a testimony.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes folks get up and say things, it's not a testimony and it hinders. Yeah. But when it's a testimony from God, it's, it adds to the service. Amen.
Amen.
All right, yes.
Brother Rick, I want to thank the Lord for saving me.
Bless
I
heart.
Want to thank the Lord for putting Hannah
bless her heart.
In my life.
Yeah.
Amen.
I just like for y'all to pray for Hannah's mom and dad.
Bless her heart.
A lot of troubles right now. And
amen.
Bless.
Amen. Bless your heart.
Amen.
Mark.
Bless you, Brother Mark. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him, Lord. Bless him. Yeah. Yeah.
Bless you, buddy. Bless you,
heart. We all be, brother. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Jesus. Yeah, brother. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen.
I'm afraid that I'll
be there
and I
get saved. Amen.
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 Bless you, brother. Bless you, Mark. Amen.
Bless you, Brother Mark.
Amen. Amen, brother. Praise the Lord.
It's been rough. You keep holding that unchanging hand.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else tonight?
Brother, I just want to thank the Lord. I just want to thank God because He is so good to me and my family. And I thank Him for saving me. And I ask you to pray for my grandchildren that
Amen.
They'll be saved.
Amen. Amen. I asked y'all to pray in closing night, but Ruby Deckard's family, we went to the church there where the bodies laid in state there right before we come to this church, and her daughter, 38-year-old, died Friday and has got a child and used to be our neighbors, and it's all of a sudden unexpected. And I was just thinking while we was there talking to her mom and them, and they were talking about that she was better off. She was sick for most of her life and all like that, but I thought, man, what would we have if we didn't have the hope of Jesus and the hope of heaven?
Amen, Holy Spirit.
Man, I tell you, Paul did what he's talking about when he's led the Holy Spirit say we'd be some miserable people.
Yeah.
Amen. Pretty rough anyway with it sometimes when you lose them loved ones, but thank God there's hope.
Amen.
And we can get through it. Amen. All right. Anyone else tonight? Yes, Sandy.
I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul.
Amen.
And I want to thank the Lord for all His blessings.
Yeah.
I want to thank God for His mercy, His grace, His love on me.
Amen.
And I often wonder and sit sometimes and think, how could God, such a great God, even look my way, much less love me?
Bless the
but
Lord.
He loved me before He even saved me.
That's right.
He loved me when I was unlovable, and yet He still loved me.
Amen.
And I thank Him for that tonight. I thank Him that things are as well with me as they are.
Amen.
I thank Him for hearing and answering Amen. Prayers.
Amen.
And I am grateful for that great gift
yeah.
to be able to talk to the Lord and be able to know that He will yes. answer if it's in accordance to His will.
Yeah, He will.
I thank Amen. Him for that. And I thank Him for the opportunity to be able to come back to the house of God.
Bless the Lord.
I thank Him for what I have in my heart tonight.
Yeah.
And I thank Him for the hope and the promise that I have of a better day.
Amen.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving
yeah.
myself.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. All hearts clear tonight. And good to be here today.
Hallelujah, sir.
Praise the Lord. It's your heart.
Yes,
sir.
I didn't just go up there to the casket. Jay told me later on when I got home after the funeral. We were talking about it. He was telling me what some people were saying that they thought I was rude. But my hope wasn't in that casket.
Amen.
There was no comfort for me.
Bless her.
Or a show to put on.
Bless her.
My comfort was in the Lord.
Yeah.
I did everything. My daddy did everything he could do for me when he was alive. And I did his letters like to my daddy that I had to say to him when he was still alive.
Amen.
Amen.
I know people take stands different. And the comfort I got was from the church. From my Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
What men going to the casket
there
and over on their body.
Bless.
My comfort was in the
Lord.
Amen.
The people
in the
church.
Bless her.
Most of you know during his funeral procession, his pallbearer was hit broadside in and a man was killed.
Yes.
You know, it was on a Wednesday. We went to the graveyard. I know my daddy would want me to check on Bagley and direct the driver.
Bless.
I left his gravesite.
Bless the Lord.
I went to talk to Bagley in the ER to let him know how much we loved him.
Bless the Lord.
How much my daddy thought of him.
Amen.
And try to be a comfort to him because I know what he was going through. You just watch the man die and step out into eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he was a saved man. And I told him, I said, Bagley, that's how the Lord works. The saved man was taken. Bagley's still lost.
Mm-hmm.
And we still call and check on him from time to time. And he still comes and checks on us when he comes down. And then Greg kept watching the time. We left the ER with him and took him home. Someone get to church Wednesday night.
Bless him.
This is where I'm finding the comfort.
Yeah.
Where I'm close
comfort
to the
Lord. Comfort of the scriptures. Amen.
I know it's still hard. I'm
Amen.
Still
missing
my daddy.
Bless
the
Lord.
My mom is still missing. Bless my sister. It's been about 63 years.
Bless her.
But it's hard for people to understand. They don't have what we have here.
Right.
They don't have the comfort and the peace. They're out in the world searching, looking for answers.
Amen.
I just remember our family in prayer.
Bless the Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
All right. Praise the Lord. All right. All hearts clear now. Anybody else got anything tonight before we dismiss? Been good to be here tonight. Thank you for coming tonight. We appreciate you being here. Pray for us this week up at camp. Pray for and be in the Wednesday night service. And just pray the Lord keep blessing us. Miss Debbie said the Lord been blessing for a while. He has. He's been
Amen.
Stopping by business real often here. And a little more than out of the ordinary.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I appreciate the Lord's blessing. We don't need to take that for granted.
Amen.
And keep praying. Trying to serve him. All right, then, let's bow our heads for dismissal prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother Josh if he would dismiss.